All right, nice to have you back with us. As I said, a beautiful day around the Bay Area today. If you're up in the Bodega Bay region, absolutely check out the Tides Wharf restaurant up there. The snack bar is open. The fish market is open. There is outside dining. And I got a nice text from Gene Bugatto today, and the weather's beautiful up there. And, boy, this is good fish season. And it's just a beautiful part of the country, and they observe everything. And I can't stress it enough. I heard Amy G on her spot as well. Wear your masks, social distance, wash your hands, do everything you can to defeat this coronavirus. These are our weapons. So Gene understands that up there. The inn at the wharf is open as well, if you want to spend the night there, too. So absolutely check it out. All right, joining us now, he is in Los Angeles. That is Mark W. Sanchez on Twitter. Mark Sanchez, who writes for KMBR.com. Mark, thanks for coming on this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Marty. It's not really baseball season until these marathon Saturday shows of yours. So it's good to be back.
You know, it's so funny. You know, we did so many shows on these Saturday nights, and you were part of it, and I appreciate it. It's kind of nice to be back in the rhythm of a game, and probably for you too. At least you know whatever it is. The first two games, 17-2, but you got another day today, and you'll tell us about Logan Webb and Alex Wood. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's been nice to actually analyze baseball for a change instead of just going over potential lineups, which we've been doing for what, 3-4 months, something like that. But yeah, we got Webb against Wood today. I am curious if Logan Webb is actually the starter. We saw yesterday Tyler Anderson was the starter in that he threw the first 1 2/3 innings, and then he came out. And the real starter, as in the bulk innings guy, was Kevin Gausman. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw someone else leapfrog off Webb. They are going to keep us guessing here, where they will not announce anything beforehand. They want the Dodgers to know as little about their pitching staff as possible, and the media too. So we're sort of seeing what they do as they go along. I do think that they're happy that the Dodgers are throwing a lefty today, because they have done very, very little against Dodgers righties. And Joe McCarthy, he's a lefty bat, and they want a lefty against the righty, but so far he has not looked like a major leaguer. So they'll get some new bats in there today, and we'll see if it changes anything.
Well, good point on Joe McCarthy. Larry and I talked about it, and you hate to, put the bullseye on the kid's back, and he's a tremendous high school player, Scranton, Pennsylvania, and a lot of the folks in spring training, some of the staff who, the ushers, remember George down there? George, was part of Scranton and told me all about this kid and how good he was in Pennsylvania, then University of Virginia. And his numbers, Tampa Bay liked him. You know, he's one of those on-base guys. But, boy, when you watch the at-bat, just can't catch up with what's being thrown to him. What sort of patience do you think the Giants have with him?
It's difficult when it's a 60-game season. In another year, you could go a couple weeks. You could see, can this guy catch up to big league pitching? Because it's like pitching that he's never seen before in his life. You know, he's been a minor league star. He's got the plate discipline that the Giants like. But you can't just throw him in there against, top-flight Dodgers pitching and expect him to do well right out of the gate. On the other hand, you can't wait for him to catch up to that, because by the time he will, it probably will be too late. I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see him for a little while now. I mean, lefty going today and tomorrow. Will he still be around next week, at least on the 30-man? That's a real question, especially with, Brandon Belt going to be coming back soon. And part of the reason they wanted McCarthy on the roster was for a lefty first baseman bat.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Flores can swing the bat. He's not up there to take pitches. This is not a guy who works the count. You throw him a pitch, he's gonna put the bat on the ball. In the field, it's a different story. He's a guy that if you take him off first base, I think it's trouble.
Absolutely. I think yesterday he went 2-for-4, and other Giants went 2-for-27, I believe it's a stat. He can hit. He can always hit. Going back to his young Mets days, he was just a pure hitter who can wake up and put him in the batter's box and he's ready. The Giants do not want to play him on the left side of the infield. They they want him to be a first baseman where you sort of hide his arm a little bit and hide legs that aren't really what they used to be. Maybe you put him at second and you feel a little bit better about things. He's not a third baseman at this point in his career. But with Longoria out, and with the Giants desperately needing his bat, you know, they need to find a place for him. He's a talent. They'll keep putting him out there, but they want to be healthy and they want him as DH or first baseman.
Catching, you know, it's still Heinemann and Brantley, and Heinemann had a couple of hits, had that bunt and scored the only run in the game on Thursday night, and then had the base running mistake that took Giants out of an inning when they had first and third, nobody out. Brantley last night, you know, doesn't show much with the bat. Had the one throw to second base and got the out on the caught stealing. What are the Giants doing with the catching? What's the hesitancy here to bring in a veteran catcher?
You think a veteran catcher? I thought the question was going, what's the hesitancy to bring in the young catcher?
Well, he'll be here eventually, but you got to get 10 or 12 games, 15 games. You can't bring him up in game 5. I mean, that would be too obvious.
That's a good point. I am curious how forthright the Giants will be in their server side manipulation here of Joey Bart, because they will never say what's going on, and no one can say, because then you've got legal issues at hand. But that's what's going on. They can bring up Bart next week, where magically his development is finished. We think he's ready. The minor league or the satellite camp started up yesterday, so they can say we like what we saw, and now it's time. I think we're gonna see a few more days of Heinemann and Brantley and sort of scrapping together and see if they can sort of scheme their way on base. We saw Heinemann lay down a bunt the other day. That's always fun. But I do think that mid next week, maybe late next week, it's going to be Joey Bart time, and probably Brantley will be cut or at least demoted here. I think they like Heinemann a little bit better, but I do think we'll see Joey Bart soon.
All right. They do have the taxi squad. Andrew Suarez is there. Don't forget about him in the next two games. We could see Andrew Suarez. Why not? They brought him along, and they need pitchers. They've used just about everybody because I guess we'll see Barragar at some point. There's a couple we haven't seen. Watson we haven't seen yet either.
Absolutely. When you go through – they went through 18 pitchers in 2 days with their A scrimmage. They are just going to – this is – Farhan Zaidi at his most Farhan Zaidi. They're going to churn through every pitcher they can, not just because they have to when arms aren't, fully developed and ready for major league batters yet, at least a chunk of innings of them, but because they want to see all these guys. They want to sort of narrow down who their guys will be and who the late inning guys will be. And it's pretty wide open. Tyler Rogers was just about the only one him and Trevor got that you could write down as these are our theoretical late inning guys we trust, with Tony Watson set to join them as his arm picks up a little bit. But, you throw in Rogers the first game and he gets battered around. They're going to be very flexible. I do expect to see Suarez either today or tomorrow, just because they're going to need every look at these guys that they can get to figure out, who they actually are this year.
Yeah, good call. I think Suarez will be involved in the next couple of days. It's funny when before game one, and of course these two games, the Dodgers have walloped them 17-2 and six games 42-4. But, I'm looking at the pitching staff. I'm saying, okay, so Rogers had a bad game. You have Trevor Gott. You've got guys, Rico Garcia. You have people who can come in and pitch, and they've shown they can give you an inning here and there. And the big issue is scoring runs. I mean, that's the big issue. I think if they could get a lead into the seventh inning, they may be able to bring it home. But it's just scoring runs. And last night, they never got a runner in scoring position. The only hit that meant anything was very impressive was Jalen Davis.
Yeah. Well, I think if you're looking for bright spots here, you can first of all point to Johnny Cueto, who looked a lot better than I thought he would against, maybe the best hitting team in baseball. You can look at Jalen Davis, who maybe is their most important player this year, that if he takes a step forward, that that will reflect very well on him, but also very well on this the new minds around the team who have made him, you know, the top priority to see if we can get this guy to become a major league bat. And you can also look at the fact that the Dodgers have thrown two righties so far. So the Giants' lefty bats are not really holding their own, and I think that has become clear, and the Giants might have to do a couple tweaks here and there, McCarthy included. But we haven't seen the righty bats yet. You know, we're going to see Darren Ruff today. We're going to see Austin Slater today. We're going to get a whole different look at this offense and see if these guys can do anything different, because it's been rough, the guys we have seen.
Well, no pun intended. It has been rough, and today it will be rough. We will have Darren Ruff today. All right, that's a good point. Slater will be in there today. Ruff will be in there today. It'll look a little bit different. Did you have any reaction to Crawford being pinch hit in Game 1? Did you feel – plus, I want to ask you about Sam Coonrod a little bit. But what do you think about Crawford being taken out of the game in Game 1?
I think it was a little bit overblown, if I'm being honest, only because they have very much signaled that this is how they're going to be handling things. They value matchups above all else, maybe to their detriment sometimes, and in a way that Bochy did not, where he would trust his guys to the end, his sort of core guys. You know, if they can get a righty against a lefty instead of a lefty against a lefty, and you can make that switch and hope that, you know, we can get a hit here and worry about defense later, they're going to do it every time. They've been forthright and open with Brandon Crawford about this, with just about everyone about this. Yes, it looks poor when a defensive miscue happens, but at that point, you know, if you're not getting offense, what you do on defense doesn't matter, because you need runs to stay in a game. I was not surprised by it. I was a little bit surprised in the backlash, only because they have very much signaled that this is how they're going to be handling the whole year. And if it keeps backfiring, then maybe they'll change. But at least so far, that's going to be their game plan.
Sam Coonrod got involved in a little controversy, obviously, on opening night. His statements after the game of why he didn't kneel down and that kind of stuff. You are in L.A. now. I know you're not in the clubhouse and you're not close enough to really, you know, get a great reaction, but what is your take on the teammate reaction, if you can comment on it, and Coonrod in general?
I think it is Gabe Kapler's first enormous test here to see if this clubhouse can sort of stay together. He has said he is behind Coonrod. He has said he'll support him while supporting, you know, Jalen Davis and himself and everyone else who is kneeling for the national anthem. This is a way that very easily can blow up. And it honestly did not start well, because Sam Coonrod didn't get a chance to talk with his teammates beforehand, which is still sort of baffling to me. The defense or the explanation from Kapler was that they changed the ceremony at the last moment so that everyone was kneeling, and Coonrod was not given a chance previously to, where he didn't know that it was going to be like that. And that's why he was so taken aback, and that's why he didn't get a chance to talk with people like Jalen Davis before him. If you buy that explanation, no, it's up to you, but there really should have been a chance for him to talk with his teammates and sort of explain himself. It's going to be tough for Kapler to keep them together. We're going to see how he's going to keep talking to Sam Coonrod, he says. He did not know if Sam and Jalen have talked yet, which I think we're talking to Jalen later today, and that's going to be a big story of just what has been the communication there. Yeah, it's tough to know without being in the clubhouse, but I think we'll quickly find out how Kapler is sort of handling his first big test here.
Okay, very good. Well, good insight into that. That's why I'm glad you're down there, Mark Sanchez. Follow him on Twitter at Mark W. Sanchez, and, of course, he writes for KMBR.com. Well, terrific. Thanks for being part of it. And, again, it's Game 3, and Kerry even pointed out, said, you know, let's get out of L.A., and let's get the team against some other teams, and let's see what it looks like, because this juggernaut thing is not matching up well. So let's see what the story is today, and then we'll go forward and look forward to chatting with you tomorrow and following you on Twitter. Thanks, Mark.
Absolutely. It's officially baseball season because Marty Lawyer is talking baseball. Thank you, Marty.
Really? Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. That is Mark Sanchez. He's down in L.A. So, yeah, so the story continues. And Bill Lasky will join us next, the sinker, slider, bone chip, as Woe likes to call him. And I'm sure he's got a lot of opinions on these first couple of games of the Giants. And also I want to put it in perspective with Bill. They are two games, two out of 60. But as I always say, it's not your record, 0-2. It's how you get to that record. And it has not been a pretty couple of games for the Giants. So today is another day in the mosaic. So we'll see where it goes. But Bill will join us next right after this.